you want holler, go away. I need more peace and hope and love. Where do I find it in this crazy old world?
I need strategies, strategies for every radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for every radio. Every time I listen, Lauren and David share strategies for living, and it makes me aware. I've got strategies, I got strategies for living. Strategies for living radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for living radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for living radio.
Oh, you know we need them. We do. We need those strategies. Those strategies for living. So, are you ready? Are you ready for your daily dose of radio rehab?
I think I'm ready.
Yeah?
Could I get a sign?
Yeah. Maybe I could give you a sign today.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, folks, welcome. Welcome into another edition of Strategies for Living. I'm Dr. David McMillan. She is looking for a sign. She is psychotherapist, PLPC, Lauren Leon McMillan. Well, that's what you therapist types do. You look for signs, don't you? You look for signs all
signs
over.
And symptoms? Is that the kind of direction you're going there?
Who is the comedian? Who is the comedian that says, there's your sign?
I don't know.
Yeah, you. I'm blanking on the name.
I'm not sure.
But he hosted the show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Oh, okay.
You remember who I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I'm blanking on his name at the moment.
Okay.
People are shouting at the radio. Yeah, people are shouting right now his
right
name
now.
At the radio. So tune
you know,
in
the
and you'll hear.
The guy with the hair.
That's it. the guy with the hair. Yeah, so he does. So he said, there's your sign. Well, you know, we all, as humans, we rely on signs, don't we?
Sure. Yeah.
And we look for signs.
Well, I mean, if we really think about the physics of life, right, life itself is a mirror. And so it's very, really innate that we look for signs, right? That we look for that reflection back towards us.
So here's the question of the day. Here's what we're going to talk about today. What are those signs that you are becoming the type of person that you were meant to be? If we could figure out some of the signs there.
Show me the way.
I mean, that would be extremely valuable, wouldn't it?
I'd say for each of us and for the world, because that's
absolutely
the ultimate goal.
We are going to talk about that today. We are going to consider the signs that you're becoming the person, that each one of us are becoming the person we're meant to be. Folks, thank you for tuning in to Strategies. We appreciate you being with us. And we appreciate our sponsors making it all possible. The Robinson Film Center, Azalea Cleaners, Pintail Roofing, Learning RX, We Train Your Brain, the Balanced Life Wellness Center, Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, Alligator Italian Sausage, pretty good Muffies too, SRT Sales Training, Uprising, Addiction Center, and Mira, Direct Primary Care. Back in a moment. Where's your sign? We're going to look for it today. Are you becoming the kind of person you were meant to be? That's today on Strategies.
Tune in daily, find the light. Healthy mind and spirits bright. Strategies for living strong. Feel the vibe, it won't go wrong.
And welcome in to Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, talking about signs today. Talking about the signs that that you're becoming the kind of person that you're meant to be.
So you're becoming...
Bill Engvall.
Yeah.
Bill Engvall. Okay. It was either Bill... And I said it was the guy that hosted Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? That was Foxworthy. That was Jeff Foxworthy.
Okay.
But I think it was Bill Engvall and Jeff Foxworthy for a long time did some shows, some stuff together.
Oh, okay.
They're both comedians in and of their own right, but they teamed up. And there was maybe one or two other people that teamed up with them. But anyway, that's the guy that...
There's your sign.
There's your sign. Right. You know, and the thing is, becoming the person that we're meant to be, right?
In other words, becoming who you truly are?
Yeah.
Is that another way we could say that?
It is another way you could say that. And it's not some magical transformation. It's not something that happens overnight.
No.
It's something that, if we're working at it, It's going to be revolutionary in our lives, but it'll be a quiet revolution. Mm-hmm. It happens in moments. It happens in small moments. Mm-hmm. It's the moments that we choose authenticity mm-hmm. over pretense, being who we truly are as opposed to what we think other people expect us to be. That makes sense?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah,
because a lot of us spend a lot of years... trying to be who we think others want us to be. And then we discover that, genuine happiness comes from honoring who we truly are.
Yeah, it's a gradual peeling away, right? It's the idea that we come into this world and we're given all of these messages, these beliefs, these stories about who we are and who we ought to be within ourselves, our families, the community, and the world, right? And then the rest of your life is hopefully spent peeling back those layers and examining them and deciding, well, is this a layer that I want to keep or is it one that I need to shed, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the idea that self-actualization is not like it's not a sudden one and done process.
Well, I'm glad you brought the term up, actualization.
Yeah.
Because actualization in psychology is what we were talking about. It's becoming who we're meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lining up with who we are on the inside, as opposed to trying to figure out how to please other people mm-hmm. outside of us.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. It's the idea that we're all given this unique set of, you know, however you want to look at it, from a spiritual view, you know, you're a faucet of God in these, you know, very specific alignments, right? And
right.
In psychology, we might think that, you know, they're facets of personality or, you know, development over time, right?
Yep.
But however you want to look at it, there's a unique footprint of who and what we are.
Yeah,
we come into the world with it, and it often gets buried, right? And we often get hurt over when we feel like those true bits of us are exposed.
Yeah.
And so the process then of the life is to become who you truly are. I mean, that's a Jung quote, right? The idea of the greatest revolution or the greatest thing in life is to become who you truly are.
The greatest gift that you can give to yourself and to the world. I don't know if those are the exact words of Carl Jung,
but it's close.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. The greatest gift we can give the world and the greatest gift at the same time we can give ourselves is to move to be
who we
truly
are.
Authentic.
Yeah. Because I think so often we get lost, especially in today's time when there's so much speed, so much pressure, so much competition, we forget that there is this magical, really truly beautiful idea that we really are each unique, and unique in a way that no one else could be the same way.
Yeah,
we each bring beautiful,
like fingerprints. Yeah. Each one of us are unique and separate.
Right. Yeah. And we each bring a very unique and important, vital perspective of life to all of life.
Yeah,
right?
I was going to say snowflakes, but we've made that word.
Unfortunately, yeah.
And we do that. We take certain words mm-hmm. and we make them mean something, and then we all line. And that's a prime example of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We all line up I mean, now, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the word snowflake. There's nothing wrong with the colors of a rainbow. And yet, we've made them mean
something very different. Yeah.
And
that's a really great analogy for the process of discovering, well, remembering who we truly are is to get back to the basics, right? Because when we see a rainbow or we see a snowflake or fill in the blank with symbols, we are immediately flooded with all of these stories that we've been taught about it.
Right.
But the actual, you know, getting down to it is just to get to the very, very pure sensation of experiencing a snowflake.
If you're your authentic self, you can experience a rainbow or a snowflake, and you can appreciate the beauty, the absent of whatever messages and stories that have been piled on.
It's kind of the idea that we might ask, you know, if you go out into a forest, you don't get mad or angry or judgmental of a tree because it's bent a certain way, right?
Yeah.
We look at it and we might, if we have any story, we might say, oh, well, it makes sense because it was trying to get light from the sun. So that was its path.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so to remember, to come back to, how can we view ourselves in that same way? Because we are just like the tree. We are very much a vital piece and aspect of nature that, you know, needed to bend this way to find the light in that moment.
And we're looking for the light. Okay, so one of the signs that we're becoming, you know, the person that we're supposed to be, the person we're meant to be, is that we become increasingly comfortable with self-reflection and solitude.
Mm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Finding peace with our own company.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can be comfortable with yourself, that marks a significant amount of psychological growth. The ability to sit with yourself without reaching for distractions.
Mm-hmm.
And gosh knows we have all kinds of distractions in front of us, right?
Yeah.
But if we can sit quietly with ourselves without reaching for the distractions, that can show us, that can be the sign that we're developing a healthy relationship with our own inner world, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you're on the path to really understand and embrace any person in a relationship, the first thing you do is you spend time with them, right?
Yep.
And so it's no different in the relationship with self.
Absolutely.
If you really want to understand, remember who you truly are, the first step is to spend time with yourself and to get to know yourself.
There was a book written by a psychiatrist. His name is Anthony Storr. The book is Solitude, A Return to the Self. And Dr. Storr suggests that authentic living, creative and authentic living, requires periods of being alone with our thoughts. And I think he's right on target. Research confirms that positive solitude has real benefits. There's benefits for self-reflection. There's benefits for emotional regulation, freedom, among some other things. So if you're growing more comfortable with quiet reflection, it's likely not just some random personal preference. It's a sign.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sign that you're becoming more psychologically mature. How's that?
That sounds great.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
We only have a couple of minutes before break, but let me start a second one here.
Okay.
Your decisions align with your core values.
Ooh.
As opposed to the external expectations, right?
Yeah.
So when you notice yourself, and this kind of gets to what we were talking about earlier about the rainbows and the snowflakes, right?
Right.
When you notice yourself making choices based on what truly matters to you rather than what's going to please somebody else, what's going to please others, right? Mm-hmm. That's a surefire sign that you're headed in the right direction toward your authentic self. The alignment between your values and your decisions creates this congruence, this sense of congruence that perhaps you've been missing out in your life, right?
Yeah, and it also builds trust within yourself. Right? Because when your body and your mind sees you acting in a way that's in alignment with its wants and its needs, you know, then you begin to fall into this place of deep trust with yourself.
Right.
Which is foundational for any relationship.
We've probably all had opportunities to experience times in our lives where we're going against the grain, right?
Absolutely, no doubt. If you're in the world, if you're on earth.
But when you notice that and that anxiety, when you do decide to go against the grain, begins to fade, you know, you might still care what others think, but it doesn't drive your major life decisions and you don't feel the need necessarily to justify them.
Yeah.
You know, you're being who you are. You're making these choices for you.
Well, and for the world.
And for the world.
Because if you make them in alignment with who you are, that's what the world needs.
Absolutely.
And it's about remembering that.
There you go. We're talking about the signs that you can look for along the path. We're all going down a path of life. What are the signs that tell me that I'm becoming my authentic, true self? Talking about that today. Here on Strategies for Living. We've got more to come, so don't go away. Stay right where you are. Be right back.
Facing the same old problems day to day makes you wanna holler, get away. Looking for the road that'll get me there. Looking for hope and peace to spare. Looking for strategies, strategies for leaving radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for leaving radio.
And welcome back in to Strategies for Living Radio. Lauren Leon McMillan. And David McMillan here on Strategies for a Living. Thank you for being with us. We're talking today about becoming your authentic self. What are the signs along the way that you know that indicate to you, well, you're on the right track. You're becoming your authentic self. As you have said, Lauren, it's what the world truly needs, you know?
Yeah.
It's good for us. It's good for the world.
It is.
It's a win-win. So, we were talking about your decisions line up with your core values rather than external expectations. In psychology, there's something called locus of control.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually measures. I think you can probably go out there on the internet and find a measure of locus of control. And when you score it, you either have an internal locus of control or you have an external locus of control.
Right.
If you have an internal locus of control, or it's a scale. So it's a spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And so the higher your internal locus of control, that means the more you trust your own judgment mm-hmm. over external approval. And why wouldn't we do that? Because nobody else can define happiness
right.
for you.
Mm-hmm.
Only you can determine what makes you happy.
Yeah. I mean, right? on a logical level, yes, it makes sense why we would want to aim there, right? But it also makes sense why in our culture, from an early age, we get knocked out into the external locus of control. Because just in the place of being a child, right, who's completely dependent on adults around them, right? Whoever they may be, their parents, grandparents,
right.
guardians, teachers, whatever, right?
I mean, there are a number of them that come together and give us lots of messages.
And so you're immediately kind of placed out of survival. You need to develop this sort of external locus of control. And, you know, quite often we are the parents, the adults around us don't understand how to really, if they don't understand how to connect with us as children empathetically on a level that I can understand how you feel and reflect that back to you,
right,
and then also help you to manage that, you know, you immediately look outside to try to figure out, well, how do I deal with this?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Another sign is that you find yourself naturally setting healthier boundaries for yourself.
Mm.
So natural boundaries happen when when those happen without conscious effort, you are becoming your true self.
Mm.
And it's a lot of times, if you go into counseling or you go into therapy, very often the therapist is going to help you work on boundary setting.
That's going to be one of them.
It's going to be,
probably,
you know. And the more you can begin as you do, you just naturally do that on your own, that's a sign. That's a sign that you're becoming your true self.
Right.
Because you start recognizing what truly feels right and what doesn't, and you begin to trust yourself. You begin mm-hmm. to trust your gut, yeah. trust your insides.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, trust the feelings.
Yeah. Your no becomes very clear.
I will put an asterisk there, right? Because the first time you begin to set boundaries, it often comes with some guilt, right?
Oh, sure.
It feels weird. Doesn't feel great.
Yeah.
And so it's not going to feel great like you're trusting yourself at first.
Right.
Right. But over time, you will develop a better relationship with yourself.
The research in psychology, and there's a lot of it, shows that healthy boundary setting correlates very strongly with emotional well-being and with self-respect. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that defines where you end and others begin. There's a great book, Dr. Henry Cloud. I have a copy of it in my office. He and another...
Townsend.
Townsend is the mm-hmm. other one.
Yep.
They wrote Boundaries. They wrote a book. They co-wrote a book called Boundaries.
Right.
And in that, they describe them as property lines mm-hmm. that define what we're responsible for.
Emotional property lines.
Yeah, emotional
right?
property line. What we're responsible for and what we're not responsible for. I mean, why do we do, you know, why do we do property lines, mm-hmm. you know, between neighbors? Well, I got to know where to stop cutting the grass.
Yeah, where does my responsibility end?
Yeah, I might cut some of my neighbor's grass.
Sure.
If they, unless they don't like me to do that. But I might do that just as a neighborly gesture.
As a kindness with no expectation.
Right. But I need to know what I'm responsible for.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Where my lines are, where my line begins and ends.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think that's a very, very good sign that, when those boundaries, when you begin to notice the boundaries are coming and you're mm-hmm. setting them and you're okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sign. You grow, you experience this growing sense of authenticity in your interactions with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of us wear a number of social masks
mm-hmm.
to some degree or another. A lot of us wear a bunch of them.
Sure.
And this particularly happens in our younger years, you know, mm-hmm. when we're worried about fitting in and all of that. But as emotional maturity comes along and self-discovery, you begin to drop some of the acts, which means you drop the mask.
Right.
And you step into being who you truly are, your genuine self. And the result is that conversations become less a performance and instead leave you energized instead of
exhausted.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a big sign for people. If you're leaving conversations, if you're leaving interactions exhausted, you need to look at that, right?
Yeah.
And what within you... Where is your energy going?
Right.
Right. Is it going to keeping up masks, keeping up a face? And if so, how can you begin to drop that? You know, and if that's going to lead to people moving away, well, that's a natural process of life.
Yeah.
There's going to be, you know, the whole point of coming into fullness of who we are is to attract our tribe. Right. The people who will resonate with who we truly are in our fullest is who is meant to be. And if you are not in your fullest self,
right,
you're actually doing a disservice to all of those other people who are meant to Absolutely. Find you as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
a beacon, yeah. right?
Yeah. If you in social situations, if you notice that you are more interested in real connection than you are in impressing others, then, you know, that's a sign that you're showing up as your true self
yeah.
in relationships rather than as who you think others want you to be and expect you to be, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
So that's a sign. How about this? How about activities?
It also, on the line of authenticity, it also becomes less tolerable to be around inauthentic
Absolutely.
People.
Absolutely.
I want to add yeah. that into that sign. Okay.
What's okay. So one? In terms of activities, mm-hmm. you are drawn to activities that are going to produce flow, states mm-hmm. of flow.
Okay.
Where time just seems to disappear.
Yeah.
That's a sign.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a big time sign.
This is interesting because I don't think this is going to be on the list, but something I thought of as a sign as well that you're on the path to becoming who you truly are is increased synchronicity.
Mm.
And this sign kind of goes well with that one as well. Increased flow states and then also increased synchronicity. If you start noticing that things just start dropping into your life, if you think of something and it yep. appears, you know,
good things for you, things right. that you consider good things just start showing up.
Take that as a synchronicity. Sign. Yeah, take yep. that as a sign that you're on your divine path towards yep. becoming your whole most full self.
Yeah.
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 And that goes hand in hand with the flow state.
Absolutely. So when you gravitate toward activities that you can become completely absorbed in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's flow.
Right.
That's what, you know, that psychological state has been called and identified as slow.
Mm.
Well, that's flow. That's a signal activity that resonates with you, yeah. who you are on the inside.
Yeah.
Because during flow states,
you sort of enter the place of timelessness.
Yeah. Right? And self-consciousness drops away.
Yeah. You actually enter the present. That's living in the present.
Yep. And your brain's prefrontal cortex, which is the part responsible for self-monitoring,
yeah.
actually kind of shows decreased activity during those moments.
Mm.
If you were hooked up and, you know, you were measuring that, you yeah. would see, okay, it's not as active mm. because you're allowing a more authentic expression of who you are.
Mm.
Flow-producing activities do that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love the synchronicity thing that you're bringing up, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, certain things that we get involved in make hours feel like minutes,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so
I have a hypothesis about that too.
Okay.
Kind of an offshoot of that. My hypothesis is that people who are able to experience more of the present, right, and therefore have more experiences of flow, actually age less.
Hmm.
Because you're not experiencing time.
Ooh.
It's just a hypothesis. I have no evidence to back this up, but it's just something played with.
I tell you what, I think it's a very interesting
hypothesis. I can see it in people that I know, you know, whether personally or just know of.
And it goes real well with our acronym about time, the internal made
external.
Yeah. And which is, you know, when you stop and think about it, oh, wow, blows your mind
we'll have
a little
to
bit. Yeah,
do a show on that.
Yeah, I think we will.
There's a lot there to unpack.
Yeah, really. We're talking today about what are the signs? What are the things that you can see along the way when you are actually maturing, growing, becoming your authentic self? There are some tried and true signs. We're talking about them today here on Strategies. We've got more. So stay with us, more to come.
We all have problems every day. We all need help along the way. We need strategies.
Strategies for Living Radio.
And welcome back. Welcome back into Strategies for Living Radio. Lauren Leon McMillan. David McMillan. Looking for those signs. Where are the signs that we are becoming our true self, our authentic self? Here's one, Lauren.
Yeah.
You recognize patterns from your past,
mm-hmm.
but you find yourself responding very differently
mm-hmm.
than you have in the past. So you may still feel a twinge, a trigger,
sure.
whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
But
as you evolve, you don't evolve out of the trigger.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. You're still going to be triggered. That's to be human is to be triggered. But and we all have opportunities that present themselves over and over where
right.
I know what's going to happen here.
And that's the growth point, right?
Right.
Where you're able to see, you know, we talked about, you know, seeing snowflakes or rainbows and having the different meanings and ideas around it. So if you're able to reframe a trigger as an opportunity to reprogram
right.
or to grow or to renew.
Actually, right? Just it begins with the ability to both identify your triggers,
mm-hmm.
you know, figure out what they are.
Right.
And then figure out, instead of letting them control you,
mm-hmm.
how do I want to respond to them in a healthy way?
Right. And here's how it lines up with when you're becoming who you truly are, right?
Right.
Because who you truly are is not the reaction, is not the personality, are not these stories. You know, I think so many people, you know, myself included at some point, right, identified so strongly with these thoughts and these feelings and these reactions that I had developed, right? Or
right.
this collective of what I called a personality, right?
Right.
But on the path to becoming who you truly are, you recognize that that's not you. You're able to look at it, right? Who you truly are is this grand, powerful being.
Absolutely.
That's able to observe the interactions.
And most of us don't
yourself.
Realize how very powerful
mm-hmm.
we are.
Right.
We will argue. We will argue
yes.
with someone who tells us we're powerful.
Yeah, yeah. We've had that argument before with people, haven't we?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it happens a lot in the coaching room and in the counseling room. Because people don't want to accept
mm-hmm.
the amount of power that they have over their own lives. And that includes healing themselves.
Yeah.
Healing themselves
do you recognize,
physically and emotionally.
You recognize the root link there too, right? We're talking about authenticity, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so it has to do with taking authority.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's that author, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Prefix, right? And it's to take authorship. That's mm-hmm. what authority is.
Yeah.
Right.
Write your own story.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. To recognize that you're the one, you're the playwright, you're the character, you are the director
and the
editor.
Star.
Yeah, yeah. You're all the things.
Yeah.
You're the main character.
So, mindfulness psychology talks about the pause.
Mm-hmm.
So the pause is that moment of awareness between stimulus and response.
Yep.
And that moment, that what they call the pause, that is where your freedom to choose
mm-hmm.
lives.
Yep.
Okay? Because each one of us have a freedom to choose our responses. Some people will argue with that because it happens so quickly and we haven't done the work to put the pause into our lives. And so it seems to be automatic,
mm-hmm.
but it's not. It's right. not ever automatic. It may just be, you know, if you've never done the work, it may happen in a nanosecond.
Right.
But there's still that nanosecond.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's that nanosecond, it can be extended to a full second. It can be extended to 5 seconds.
Right.
It can be extended to 10 seconds. And you don't need too much more than that,
mm-hmm.
you know, to give yourself a whole lot more freedom
to make a different choice.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. So identifying and recognizing your triggers and figuring out, hey, I can respond differently.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I've noticed for me over the years is now, you know, as when a trigger comes up, it's almost like those little warning signs that appear on your computer, the little error, like ding, ding, you know, and you have an option there, right? It's basically the option is, okay, do I want to keep this file or do I want to change it?
Yeah.
Right. And so to be able to access it in that way is incredibly empowering.
Yep.
And again, you know, recognizing that we all have that power.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And,
okay.
And I think it starts with being kinder to yourself.
Well, and that, but you're anticipating the next thing.
Well, look at there.
Okay. So, you know, we all talk to ourselves, mm-hmm. right? We all have this ongoing conversation in our head.
Yes.
That, you know, and so a sign that you are becoming more authentic mm-hmm. is when you notice that self-talk, that mm-hmm. conversation in your head becomes more self-compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the biggest things that I noticed as I began to reconnect with my higher self was the immense flow of love that came through. Right.
Yeah.
And that just flooded out into my everyday life and changed everything.
A lot of people, in fact, maybe most of us have this very harsh inner critic
mm-hmm.
that lives in our heads. And sometimes that lives in our heads for a good chunk of our lives, if not all of our
lives. Rent free, by the way.
Right? Yeah. Rent free. Yeah. And that's a habit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a habit that we can break.
And it was often usually developed out of protection.
Right? Yeah,
a protective kept coping mechanism.
But it's also often as we age, a habit that interferes with us being and lining up, as we're talking today, with who we truly are meant to be in the world.
Big time. Because often that inner critic is doing is just repeating the pattern of what those around us said or did to us as, you know, young people were growing, as we were growing and showing those true parts of who we are.
Right.
And they were criticized, right? Or put down or ostracized or
right.
belittled, whatever it was.
We don't have much more time, but I'll try to get in one more.
Okay.
You experience a greater sense of gratitude
mm-hmm.
and present moment awareness. In other words, the small joys. Back to those snowflakes and rainbows. The small joys that once passed unnoticed now catch your attention, and they evoke real appreciation.
Yeah.
True, authentic, genuine appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
And for the wonder,
that is life and
creation. Yeah.
And that we're a part of it.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean,
we are a miraculous part of it,
it's
a
incredible.
Powerful part of it.
Yeah.
And so, I hope today we've, maybe given some ideas. Maybe you see some of the. I hope you have recognized some of these signs within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't, if you're recognizing the opposite signs, well, there's help available.
Take that as a sign too.
That's a sign too. There you go. We will be back here on Strategies for Living. Come back with us. And welcome back. Welcome back into Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, and we've been talking today about what are the signs. There's your sign.
You got one.
What are the signs that you are becoming your authentic and true self? There are more than we got a chance to get to, but maybe we'll keep going with this at some point.
It's always a good thing to...
But in the short time that we have left today, kind of what's your takeaway from the conversation that you and I have had this afternoon?
Well, that becoming who you truly are It's not, I don't want to set it as a destination, right? It's a continual practice
right.
and a lifelong journey.
Right.
It unfolds in the small moments.
Yep.
But also in the quiet, and I'm going to use a word we haven't used yet, but I think it's important, in the conscious choices.
Yeah.
The quiet, conscious choices that we make.
Right. Right.
And so, you know, if you notice any of the signs that we've talked about, it take that as a sign that you're on the path.
Take that as a positive sign, yeah. because I think it truly is. Lauren, thank you. And I'm sure we will continue our signage
as
we go along. Folks, thank you. We appreciate you. You are our sign. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing here on Strategies. And we thank our sponsors for allowing us to do that. The Robinson Film Center and Azalea Cleaners and Pintail Roofing and Learning RX. We train your brain. The Balanced Life Wellness Center. Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather. Alligator Italian Sausage. Pretty good muffies, too. SRT Sales Training, Uprising Addiction Center, and Mira Direct Primary Care. If today were the last day of your life, you only had one more phone call that you could make, who would you call? And what would you say? And why are you waiting? Make the call. For Lauren Leon McMillan, I'm David McMillan. We'll see you next time right here on Strategies for a living.